Throughout Scripture, the image of a tree or a branch associated with Christ is a recurring theme. And so in this series, each week we have a key verse that leads us into that image. And then we use that verse to figure out how that affects how we can grow in our faith and live fruitful lives. So today, our key verse is from John's Gospel. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. Now, the first scripture reading we had this morning is taken from the opening of the book of Psalms. And according to Psalm 1, the righteous are like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are like the leftover bits of, well, dead leaves and whatnot blown away by the wind. Wicked people fall and fail. Righteous people prosper. Now that sounds right, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound about right? Well, except that's the way things maybe should be. But in actual reality, it often is not that way. Instead, wicked people get away with hurting others. They prosper in their ways. They oppress the righteous. Often it's the very people who are trying to be faithful to God who are hurt, who suffer at the hands of those who are evil. Wicked people often seem to be very firmly planted, growing strong and powerful. Righteous people, on the other hand, seem to suffer the pain and the injustice and loss, usually at the hands of the wicked. According to Psalm 1, wicked people fall, righteous people prosper. But, as you know, it doesn't always work out that way in our fallen world, our sinful world. And it didn't work out that way in the life of our Lord Jesus. The wicked enemies of Jesus prospered in their plans against him. Their plot to have him arrested, tried, and executed was successful. Jesus, the righteous branch, the only truly righteous human being, was nailed to the tree of the cross and cut down, dead. He was laid in a borrowed, sealed, and guarded tomb. The wicked had prospered. The righteous one fell. But 3 days after Jesus was killed, everything was turned upside down. The evil plans of the wicked and their plot to tear down Jesus, the righteous one, came crashing down in defeat. The plans and powers of the evil one himself taken down in defeat. The sealed tomb was open, and guess what? It was empty. And Jesus, the righteous branch of David's line, had been raised from the dead and is alive. All of the plans and the promises of God for the righteous branch of David's line came to fruition. The plans of the wicked failed. The plans of God prospered in Jesus' nail-scarred hands. The wicked were like the chaff that the wind drives away. Their plans amounted to something quite the opposite of what they intended. Jesus, the righteous one, was indeed like that tree planted by the streams mentioned in Psalm 1, yielding fruit, prospering in all that he did. See, this had been in God's plan from the beginning, and now it had been accomplished. Jesus, the righteous branch. Jesus, the righteous branch, is also our living and life-giving vine. Jesus himself said this. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. And by faith, we're grafted into our nourishing vine. Apart from me, though, Jesus said, you can do nothing. In fact, those who reject him, those who cut themselves off from Christ, Jesus describes in a way that is very similar to what we heard in Psalm 1 about the chaff of the wicked. He says in John 15, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown in the fire, and burned. On the other hand, those who by faith are grafted into the life-giving vine are like the fruit-yielding righteous people of Psalm 1. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. So connected to the vine, what sort of fruit should we produce? Just what kind of fruit should we bear? Now, don't take this literally. I know that a vine, a grapevine, is supposed to give grapes, right? Okay. This is just a metaphor, all right? Go with the metaphor. Don't get hung up on all the grapes. I like grapes. Grapes are good. And we're even going to partake later of the fruit of the vine in the form of unfermented wine, aka grape juice. But in talk about the character of Christ, don't be so literal. We're speaking metaphorically. We're bearing fruit because we're connected with Christ. What kind of fruit? Well, Paul describes it in the letter to the Galatians, taken from our epistle lesson. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And guess what? It's in season all year round. You don't have to wait for it. And Paul says there's no law against it. The fruit of the Spirit. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit develops a Christ-like character in our lives. And the evidence that we're doing this, the evidence that we're growing, the evidence that we're becoming like Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. Laura Smith writes, our young daughter was learning the fruit of the Spirit. So I asked her to recite them to me. And she said, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and remote control. Now, some of us, and I'm not going to mention any names, probably need a remote control for our self-control, okay? But all of us need to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. And by the way, the word fruit is in the singular. We're not talking nine fruits of the Spirit. One fruit, nine characteristics. So you can't pick and choose. I mean, everybody loves, you know, things like joy or peace. Not so crazy about patience or self-control, huh? I'm reminded of an anecdote of C.S. Lewis. One night he prayed to God for the virtue of patience. And the ensuing week was so filled with frustration and aggravation that the next week he asked God to take that away and give him another one. But it doesn't work that way. We need all nine characteristics. All nine characteristics are being developed by the Spirit in our lives, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. But it doesn't happen without our cooperation. You don't suddenly wake up in the morning and discover, oh my land, I have all nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. It doesn't work that way. You have to cooperate with the Spirit. So what does such prosperous fruit bearing look like in your life? You see, it's one thing for us to talk about patience or even just peace. It's quite another to think about that when you're stuck in traffic or when you've just been cut off or something troubling happens at work or when you're sick or a loved one is ill. What does fruit bearing look like then? Remember your relationships. We need goodness and faithfulness. But we also need gentleness and self-control as well. And these can grow well in other places, in home, in work, in school, everywhere. And perhaps the whole thing can be summarized in this special kind of love revealed to us by Jesus. This self-sacrificing type of love. Our righteous branch, our life-giving vine shows us the way. What will fruit-bearing look like in your life? Now, going back to Psalm 1, we see that these persons who are blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. These people appear to have the Old Testament version of the fruit of the Spirit. But notice, too, they are connected. The psalmist uses a slightly different image, but we still got a tree here, still got branches. And how does the psalmist see the people of God connected? Well, he says, their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Day and night. So day and night we can be nourished in Christ, who is our vine. So we receive the gifts of word and sacrament to help us grow in faith. So we have the word written, and we have the word proclaimed, and we often refer to the Lord's Supper as the word enacted. And so through word and sacrament, we are nourished in our faith. We are fed as we are attached firmly to our source of life and salvation, delighting in and fed by Jesus, the Word made flesh. We bear the fruit of the Spirit in love and service to others. Now, nourished and enlightened by the life-giving Word, we now know that even the wicked, even though they seem to be triumphing now, their days are numbered. This is only a temporary situation. There will come a day when, apart from Christ, they cannot stand. The way of the wicked will perish, as the psalmist has said. But attached to Christ our vine, attached by faith to Christ as our vine, we, his branches, will stand firm in that day, together with all the congregation of the righteous. Until that great day, Jesus our vine nourishes our faith with love, with forgiveness. In his name, the fruit of the Spirit grows in our lives. And we love and serve others, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. And this enables us to be witnesses to Jesus and the love of Jesus. Jesus, the vine who gave his life that they and we might live. In our love and service, others will see Jesus, will see that love. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they may come to faith in Christ and so give glory to the Father. Jesus said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." How do you glorify God? According to Jesus, become his disciple. If you're already a disciple, then bear fruit grafted by faith into Jesus our vine, nourished by the Spirit, this is what I declare to you and to me. Let's keep growing.